our next topic really has to do in some ways with some of those same banks, some of the same financial institutions that were the target of peaceful protests by the Occupy Wall Street movement back starting in September of 2011, something we covered quite a bit here on this program. And I know many of our listeners were engaged or active with the Occupy Wall Street movement, got its start in Zuccotti Park in Lower Manhattan and spread across the country and around the world. With us to discuss some disturbing and illuminating documents that were requested and gotten by the group, the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund, is Heather Benno, who's a staff attorney with the Partnership for Civil Justice, and she's here to talk about the Freedom of Information Act request that was successful in getting some of these documents that really illuminates the role of the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security in the surveillance and eventual crackdown on the Occupy Wall Street movement. Thanks so much for making time to come on the program tonight, Heather.
Thank you.
First of all, maybe tell our listeners a bit about your organization, the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund.
Well, the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund is a not-for-profit legal and educational organization. We do civil litigation to protect constitutional and civil liberties, and we also have a Freedom of Information Act project where we use tools, public records requests available to us, both federal and state, in order to get information about how the government may be abusing civil liberties.
Thanks for that. Maybe you could begin by telling us about how your organization first came to file a Freedom of Information Act request for documents related to federal agencies' involvement in surveillance of the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Well, at the height of the Occupy movement, we were seeing very similar responses from law enforcement around the country, local law enforcement. For example, a lot of the same reasons being given for threatening to take down the encampments, such as public health concerns, cold, allegations of criminality. It was almost verbatim the same in every single city where there was an Occupy encampment. And then when law enforcement started raiding the encampments, they were also doing them in a very similar fashion. Early in the early morning hours, when there wasn't a lot of media scrutiny. And so that, in addition to the fact that there was reports of, you know, coordinated and or communication at least between the various localities, and allegations that there may have been some coordination between mayor's offices and law enforcement in various cities, we decided that it was really important in November of 2011 to file Freedom of Information Act requests with the federal government to see how the federal government was involved.
Thanks for that. And so maybe you can summarize for us what the essential documents that you were successful in recovering from these federal agencies, what did they tell us about the extent and scope of the surveillance operations?
Well, the documents that we recently received, the last batch of documents we received was from the FBI, and they were sent to us after over a year of engaging the FBI, pressing the FBI, and the FBI stalling and trying to circumvent, essentially, releasing records on coordination and communications that it may have had with local law enforcement. We received these records the Friday before the Christmas break, before Christmas weekend. And in these records, we see a vast surveillance involving the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the NCIC, and in addition, local police and private security or corporate security, or in other words, corporate interests, the very interests that the Occupy movement sought to expose as being problematic and related to the income disparity in the United States. So the records really span, they come from across the country. We had to press the FBI, which originally wanted to limit its search to its headquarters or central index. We had to press the FBI to actually release documents from field offices. So we got records from, you know, ranging from Alaska all the way to Florida, California, Arizona, and the East Coast. So we got about 100 records, just about over 100 pages of documents, and the documents are highly redacted. So there's a lot of information that we're still fighting to get. And it's clear from the documents that we have received that we haven't received the entirety of what the FBI actually has. So this is only one part of what we have done. We've already also received documents from the Department of Homeland Security, various productions, the National Park Service, which was involved in the law enforcement response here in Washington, D.C., and some very interesting responses from the CIA, which didn't actually produce records to us. So it's the most, I think, the take-home message from the FBI records that we recently received, some important information, was in essence the fact that the FBI was working with private security and Wall Street-related interests, banking interests, even before the Occupy protests began.
That's interesting, and maybe you could talk more about that. What indications do we have that there were infiltrators involved in the Occupy Wall Street movement reporting on some of the early meetings that occurred before the first protest was launched in Zuccotti Park on September 19th, 2011, given the fact that your records indicate there were reports coming through the FBI in August of 2011?
Right. The earliest record that we received from the FBI was as early as August 19th, 2011, about a month before even one encampment was set up in Zuccotti Park in New York. And this was the FBI in New York meeting with the New York Stock Exchange, not ironically, to discuss the upcoming Occupy Wall Street protests. So already at that point, when the FBI had received information that there were to be some kind of political protest or, you know, organized First Amendment protected activity, not only was there monitoring going on, information collection, but that information was literally being turned over to those very interests that the protest movement stood against. And, you know, that was the beginning, but it's not the end of it all. We have records from Virginia, from Richmond, Virginia, from Anchorage, Alaska, from Biloxi, Mississippi, and other places where the FBI, in essence, because of certain legal restrictions on its ability to surveil First Amendment activity, was collecting information through proxies, in essence, working with the Federal Reserve, for example, in Richmond, Virginia, which had sent undercover or, you know, representatives without saying who they were to occupy meetings, and those representatives of the banks were then reporting that information back to the FBI.
What can you tell us about the banks' involvement here? It would appear that the banks have their own security establishments in place that were surveilling these protesters. Is that a safe assumption?
Well, it's not all security. I mean, we definitely saw security when it came to the port actions on the West Coast. There were security officers that were in direct communication, engaging in meetings with FBI agents and giving them information, admitting to have attended the Occupy movement undercover and collecting information on the planned protest activity. And once that information is collected, then it goes into the FBI, basically information storing house. For example, their fusion centers, which are collaborative projects between the Department of Homeland Security, local law enforcement, and then the FBI. So in essence, the security officers were feeding into that information that the FBI wasn't perhaps able to get on its own. So we have that involvement of security officers. But in terms of the banks, we have direct meetings. The documents reflect direct meetings between organizations like the Domestic Security Alliance Council, for example, which is an organization that represents corporate interests in the United States and a collaborative project with the FBI, and other banking institutions, which themselves sent people, you know, maybe security, maybe not, bank security working group, for example, representatives to the Occupy meetings to collect information, and then we're having those meetings, we're feeding that information over to the FBI and federal law enforcement.
You know, this whole thing is so disturbing, and I wonder, as even more disturbing was the fact that these documents revealed that the FBI and some of the other federal agencies, they viewed the Occupy Wall Street movement, an essentially a disciplined, peaceful organization that had engaged in organized violence in any way, shape, or form, but they perceived the movement as somehow engaged in criminal activity and a domestic terrorism threat. How did they make that conclusion, or was this completely artificial, as it would seem on the surface, to justify the surveillance itself?
Well, that's right. I mean, it's right that they were characterizing the movement that way. We can see throughout the documents the Occupy movement being characterized as a domestic terrorism, or the information collection being referred to as counterterrorism preparedness. If the documents are replete with that kind of language. But what we don't have is any information to justify that characterization. And the interesting thing is that any federal agency, when it receives a records request under the Freedom of Information Act, for example, is under an obligation to produce the public records that were asked for, and there are certain exemptions that the agency can rely on in order to withhold certain information. But the agency is never compelled to withhold information. So, for example, if there truly were a threat, the FBI, we would imagine that the FBI would include that information in the documents that it's producing in order to explain exactly your question, and in order to explain why it's characterizing the Occupy movement as a terrorist threat or domestic terrorism. But we don't see that in the records. We can assure ourselves that if they had information on what was going on, and if that information was anything other than peaceful protest, which is reflected in the documents, the FBI itself characterizes the movement throughout the documents as one, a nonviolent movement, or a movement demanding social justice and economic justice, that if the FBI actually had evidence to the contrary to support its allegations, that it would have disclosed it. And we just don't see that in the documents at all.
We're speaking tonight on Counterpoint with Heather Benno. She's staff attorney with the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund based in Washington, D.C. And we're talking about documents that the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund had sought and acquired through a Freedom of Information Act request to the U.S. government to reveal some of the inner workings of the U.S. Federal agency's surveillance of the Occupy Wall Street movement. And Heather, I had read that some of the other agencies that were involved in surveilling Occupy Wall Street around the country included military intelligence units, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, as well as campus police forces around the nation.
Yeah. The Joint Terrorism Task Force is, like I mentioned earlier with regard to the fusion centers, that's not entirely surprising, because essentially anything that the FBI collects goes into their collaborative projects like the fusion centers and joint terrorism task forces. And these are projects where the FBI and DHS, Department of Homeland Security, other federal law enforcement agencies work with local law enforcement, and they're subject to regulations. So when the FBI was collecting that information, we see it reflected in terms of being passed along to the JTTF. But what the information we received on the campus liaison project, or the FBI's involvement in surveilling Occupy protests on college campuses, that was very important. And and also extensive. It's reflected in many of the documents that we received. And it's clear that from the beginning, campuses were in essence working with the FBI in order to judge whether the Occupy movement was growing, what was going on, really just collecting information regarding perfectly lawful First Amendment protected activity and working with the FBI to sort out next steps.
When you look at all the surveillance that surrounded the Occupy Wall Street movement as it was growing around the country, do you see a deliberate and centralized government effort to surveil and eventually crack down and crush the movement? Or was this something that naturally grew out of the anti-terrorism enforcement agencies that were set up around the country looking for something to do? In other words, they have to justify their existence. So is it possible that their surveillance of the Occupy Wall Street movement grew out of the fact they needed to do something and they really had maybe nothing else on their plate?
You know, it's hard to speculate about their motivations, except for the fact that they were meeting with private interests, banking interests, and the very interests being protested, for example, the ports on the West Coast, throughout. So that would indicate not only that, you know, they're collecting information because they receive all of this money, all of this federal money. I mean, we've seen the congressional hearings and congressional reports on the fusion centers and essentially how much money they receive and where it's going. And these documents show that it really is truly going to fund a coordinated effort of collecting information on lawful protest movements. So they're collecting the information, and then what are they doing with it, though? Rather than, you know, using that information in some way to protect people or, you know, people's public tax dollars to do some kind of public service, instead, the information is being used to protect Wall Street and to protect the very interests that the protest movement stood against. So that indicates a certain allegiance and a certain, you know, strategy on the part of at least certain elements of federal law enforcement to protect Wall Street at the expense of regular working people.
We're speaking with Heather Benno, staff attorney with the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund based in Washington, D.C., and again, talking about the Freedom of Information Act request and documents successfully gathered by some hard work by Heather and other folks at the partnership that reveals the extent of federal surveillance of the Occupy Wall Street movement. And Heather, yourself and many of our listeners are familiar with the counterintelligence program, the COINTELPRO program that was in effect under the FBI and other federal agents during the 60s and 70s, targeting anti-war groups and other progressive activist groups. In what ways is the surveillance of Occupy Wall Street similar and dissimilar to that operation of the FBI years ago?
Well, I want to start by just encouraging, you know, especially people who are familiar with the COINTELPRO, encouraging people to visit our website and review the documents for themselves to get an idea of what, in fact, the FBI was doing. And you can find those documents at justiceonline.org. Not only the FBI records, but all of their records as we receive them and make them public. You know, the FBI in COINTELPRO was involved in systematic surveillance and monitoring and also infiltration of the anti-war movement. And it kind of shows that even though what's going on now may not be the worst form of surveillance, because we really don't know how the FBI, in essence, ultimately, besides the 100 pages that we have, used all of the information that it collected over all of these months starting so early on. But it shows that the strategy of the federal government, the strategy of the FBI, the strategy of federal law enforcement hasn't changed. And we see some documents, for example, as it relate to the Occupy movement in Florida, where the FBI is truly characterizing the reasons for the protest movement as related to the high levels of unemployment, the high levels of poverty and economic disparity that exist. And just as before in the 60s and 70s, where the federal government was in essence threatened by the anti-war movement, we see those very same concerns, threats basically in essence that the federal government is threatened by a movement of the people to stand against the economic inequities that continue to exist in the United States and to protest the control of Wall Street.
Well, lastly, Heather, before you go, and we'll repeat the web address in a moment, but what's the parameters of the legality of what the FBI and these other federal agencies were doing to surveil Occupy Wall Street, and can any legal action be put in motion to stop or prevent that kind of surveillance and spying on legal, peaceful political organizations in the future?
Well, certainly as we receive more records, and because we believe that we will, we are going to keep all options open, because the FBI, no federal law enforcement agency, is able to surveil and collect information legally on protest activity, First Amendment protected activity, unless that agency frames it as a response to some kind of legitimate threat or not a constitutionally protected activity, which we know that the Occupy protests were. So it stands to reason that the laws and regulations, although they have been chipped away, protections against surveillance on the part of federal law enforcement have been chipped away over the years, we know that the FBI had to find some kind of cover, some kind of reason why they are collecting the information, even if it's not the true reason, because the characterization of the movement throughout these documents was a peaceful protest movement for economic justice. So I guess we're just going to have to see what the rest of the records reveal in terms of future action. But certainly it does raise concerns about the legality of this type of monitoring and surveillance.
Yeah, and so everybody who was concerned about spies and infiltrators was not far off the mark, given how widespread the surveillance was that these documents now confirm.
It was very widespread, and, I mean, the value of this information is not to scare people into inaction, but simply to show the allegiances of federal law enforcement vis-a-vis the banks or as it relates to Wall Street itself. Because here, the information collection, legal or not, is alarming in that the federal government serves the banks or Wall Street rather than people, regular working people living in the U.S.
Well said. Of course, that's the important thing, as you said, the takeaway from this particular set of facts as presented in the redacted, censored version of these documents. I guess we can only guess at what was censored. But Heather, thanks so much for spending time with us tonight, and we'll stay in touch to get further information on documents that your organization secures, and. Please repeat the website one more time so people can look at these documents for themselves.
Sure. It's www.justiceonline.org. And thank you so much for having me on.
All right, Heather. We'll look forward to staying in touch with you guys. Appreciate it.
Have a good night.
Thanks for the hard work on this. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Heather Benno, staff attorney with the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund based in Washington, D.C. Again, their website address is justiceonline.org. And they put all the FBI documents regarding the surveillance of the Occupy Wall Street movement on their webpage there. So take a look at it, justiceonline.org.